I love Luke's writing. Ooh, he wrote the sweetest through the Holy Spirit about the birth of Christ. And nobody could tell the story sweeter than Dr. Luke through the Holy Spirit. I memorized this when I was about the second, maybe about the second grade of school. That was public school too. And carried it in my heart all these years. Thank God for that blessed teacher. She's probably gone on to her reward. And thank God that that was her assignment for us to learn these scriptures on the birth of Christ as the Lord gave them through Dr. Luke. Okay? And now in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, and in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Laid him in a manger. And the subject tonight is take another look in the manger. Take another look. Now, in this hour, you need to take a new look. And you'll have a different view, I assure you. The greater your anointing becomes. I'm for greater view of the manger and what was in the manger. And the more you increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more that you will see in the manger. And down through the years, my vision of the manger has increased and increased until it's mammoth now. It's so mammoth, all that was in the manger. And they didn't realize that when they looked in, they saw a babe, and they knew he was the Savior. And I know they looked in great awe, but it was to come later when he would grow up and when he began to serve the people that they would really know what was in the manger. They had been told by the angel of the Lord that the Savior was born. Yes, they knew this, and they knew he was Savior. I don't think they doubted that at all. And the angel had announced it, and then they saw an angelic host, and they were shouting the praises of God too. And they left their flock, which was their life, and they really left their lives behind when they left the flock. That means they forgot everything, left everything, and ran to see the Christ child. They didn't know just what it was going to be like, I'm sure. But think of the holy sacredness, the light of God's glory, and the stars shining over the stable. But now, I want you to take another look. Take another look. It's time for you to take another look. And in that manger, if you don't acknowledge to your heart what's in the manger, you'll never receive the greatness that was brought. And everything that you acknowledge in the manger becomes your own possession. Your own possession. Everything that you acknowledge. And some of you, you're always searching for a door out, a door in, a door or door. Now I want you to look in the manger tonight, and I want you to see the door of all doors. I want you to see the great open door of God that God had made. Jesus said, I'm the door. I am the door. And those shepherds did not realize they saw the door. And you, many of you have journeyed with the Lord and you still don't see the door. It is so big. It is so mammoth. It's hard not to recognize it to be your door. So many of you, you're always looking for a little tiny door. And it isn't a little tiny door. It's a great big door. And I think that's the reason so many of God's children, they miss the door. They miss the door. And they're trying to find the door of healing. They're trying to find the door into a miracle. And because the door is so mammoth and so big, they look and they don't see the door. They're looking for a tiny little door that man has made. This door, man did not make. This door came down from heaven. This door became the door back into Eden. And this great mammoth door, God closed that door and locked it, the Eden door. And thousands of years would pass by until another door would be made. And that door, I say to be made, that door to come. And that door came from heaven. We don't know how much that God of heaven was in the Garden of Eden. We know it wasn't Eden. We don't know the touches that God put there of things that he brought down. We don't know. We don't know. But one thing we do know, that he is the door, and into all the greatness of heaven, into all the things that you need, into the green pastures, he is the door. Now, take another look in the manger, and I want you to see the big door. The big door. This is what you got to see tonight, and I want you to go away. You, this will be the first time for you to actually see the big door and recognize it's your big door. And then you'll realize it's not that hard for you to have the blessings of God. You will realize it's not that hard to have the peace of God. You will realize it's not that hard to find the love of God. You will find out it's not hard to have the fruit of the Spirit. No, when you recognize the great door, heaven's door, Jesus. Heaven's door. Take another look in the manger and see the door. The door for you. And then that door with voice saying, I am the door. The door to heaven? Yes. The way to heaven? Yes. But he was the door for God's people on earth to enter in to the joys of God right here on planet earth. To go through that door and receive mighty strength. To go through that door, when I went through it, I found life. I found life. You can't go through the door without receiving salvation. You can get to the door, but you can't go through the door. You can't go into Christ with any sin in you. And you have to be washed to go into him. You have to be cleansed to get through that door. You're washed as you go across the threshold. You're cleansed. You cross that threshold, and at that door, Calvary. 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 Now, when they looked into the manger, they saw no Calvary. You look into the manger now tonight, we go back to take another look in the manger, and there's Calvary. Calvary. What greatness. What power. What deliverance. Calvary in that manger. Calvary. Victory. Calvary. And the world, through it, was set free. Jesus died our sins to hide with his great, gracious, supernatural blood from on high. How wonderful, how marvelous indeed, such a door suddenly was man's door. It was man's door, God given, for God gave it. God loved us so much, he gave us the door. He gave us the door into his love. Take a look now into the manger. So many lonely people today, and they need to look in the manger. There's all of it. The great love of God, all in that one bundle, all in that one manger. All of God's love. Now, if that manger could contain all of God's love, all of God's heart, well, certainly our hearts can contain that love and carry it. It was in the manger. It was in a manger where the feeding took place for the cattle. And if that love, that great love from heaven could come down and fill up a manger, it can come and fill up your heart. And why should your heart be empty? The manger was not empty. The manger is not empty tonight as you take a look. The manger's always been filled with God's love every time I've ever looked. Every time I've ever looked. And I see so many hearts with not enough. And they act like there's such a scarcity of it. But there isn't any scarcity of it at all. Take another look. And I see people and their eyes are closed and they're trying to find a door. They say they're Christians. They say they're close to God. But they're groping, trying to find their way. Trying to find their way. They can't find the door. They can't find the door into what God is calling them to. They can't find the door. And if they'd only find the door and they pass right by it, it is so big, it may not look like a door to you. Jesus is so big and so fantastic that only through the Holy Spirit can he be brought down the size of a man. Only through the Holy Spirit can his hands be made the size of ours so they will fit into ours. And you've got to let the Holy Spirit do this for you, or you will not let him be living reality. to walk hand in hand with Jesus, it can't be great big hands like so. No, our hand would be lost in that kind of hand. And we have to see those hands through the Holy Spirit, the size of ours. The size of ours, and then with all confidence, we can place our hand in that nail-riven hand. That hand was the size of a man's hands when they were nailed to Calvary. The same size. They were not big mammoth hands. No. No. Just ordinary hands. Nail-riven for you. They had become the size of a man's hands that man could nail them to the cross. And those people that crucified him, they didn't know anything that was in the manger. Many people today, they have no knowledge of what was in the manger. But I don't know. I had a revelation of it from the time that I can remember. From the time I could remember, I had a revelation of the divine presence of the babe in the manger. As a child with holy, holy awe, I would look at the babe in the manger. It could be just a picture of a babe. Didn't make any difference. It represented far beyond that. And the holy sacredness of him always, as a child, would cover me up so completely at that time of the year. And the Christmas carols, Joy to the World, Silent Night, I always got something out of those. Always. And I felt the holiness. Christmas to us was really Jesus. Was really Jesus. That was Christmas. Christmas. But so many people, they give so much and look for gifts, and they've crowded out Jesus, and the manger is piled up and covered up with gifts for other people, and they don't see the gift of all gifts, and they don't know what Christmas is about. They don't even know what Christmas is about. And I think that we ought to daily look in the manger. I'm forever looking in the manger. And I found in the manger my miracle. My miracle was in the manger. It was there. And I had suffered so long and gone through so much until I just felt like I couldn't believe it was there, that it was really there. And I wouldn't get out of this place. I couldn't find the door. I had found the door for so many other things. I had found the door when the Lord said, "Preach my gospel." I had found the door. I had found the door, but now I'd suffered so much that I was groping. I couldn't find the door, and I was shut in, and I thought for sure I was going to die. I was going to die, and then through the night he came. Oh, it was such a marvelous thing, how he came to me. And there he was, my door to live. There he was, my door to health. There he was, talking to me. There he was, telling me things to come. There he was, making me whole all over. I found the door. I found the door, and how could I have missed it? How could I have groped through the dark, trying to find that door for my miracle in my pain and in my suffering, and begging him to let the dawn come just this once early to shorten my long, long, agonizing night. Such a stifling night. Again and again it would be. Just stifling nights of terror, of suffering death, and couldn't die and couldn't live. And couldn't find any door of healing. Any door of healing. And I knew there was healing. I knew there was healing. I had seen miracles. I knew. I knew that God healed. But for me to find my door. It isn't enough to know that God heals. The devil knows that. It isn't enough. No. It isn't enough in your terror to just say, "I know you can do it, God." No. You have to find the door. You have to find the door, that special door of your deliverance. I had found him as the door of my salvation, and had stepped through, and oh, the joy and the peace, the contentment, the greatness that I found. But now, for my door, he promised to be my door of healing. He promised to be my healer as well as the healer of my soul. He promised to be the healer of my body. But now it seemed that I was closed in. I was closed in with sickness and suffering, and that brings fear and distress. And in the dark, your imagination can run away with you. You're in a room with no light, and you can't find any door, any door. The place becomes stranger and stranger to you. And I was on death's territory, and the room became so strange to me. There were no doors and no windows. No doors and no windows. And the fear was closing in. And it seemed that my faith was all gone. I've gone through this. That's the reason I've been able to help you and you and you and you. I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. And I know what you have to do to come out of it. And I know that if you will just let Him be your door tonight, my Lord, that door is so big, and you'll think, why was I so long finding it? Why, for my miracle, for my healing, why did it take me so long? And it'll be so easy. My Lord, there you are, and passed up that big open door and couldn't find that door. You kept groping through the night and couldn't find it. And now suddenly there's the light of God upon the door, shining so beautifully, and that door wide open for you. Wide open. And all you have to do is step through the door. Step through the door. And people searching for doors, they can't find their place in life. Why? They can't find the door. They can't find the door. They can't find the door. Everything's closed. Everything's closed. That isn't the way the Lord planned it. Man was shut in. Man didn't have a door into God. Man was shut out. Even when the Lord ordered the tabernacle to be built, man was still shut out. He didn't have a door into God. No, God was on the inside. And there was just some material between man and his God. But if there's anything between you and your Lord, you're shut out. You are shut out. And even on the Day of Atonement, the greatest day of all days of their year, when the high priest went in and they stood outside and gazed upon the tent, knowing God was in there. God was in that most holy place. But they knew they dared not go in. They dared not approach. There was no door for them. Had they made a door in, they would have been killed. No, even if the high priest died, they couldn't even go in to bring out his dead body. They had a rope tied around him. That's the reason he had the bells on his garments, that day to jingle. Because those bells, if they stopped jingling, they would know that he had died. Because they knew he had to be active in there, in the presence of God. And that ought to tell us something. We've got to be active in the presence of God. And the priest, he kept moving. Those bells kept jingling all the time he was in there. He did not get still. He was moving. He was in action with God. He was in action, and he was making atonement for the sins of the people. And there they were. No door. No door. No door. They couldn't get in. They were shut out. It just well been a million miles of being shut out. If you're shut out, you're shut out. That's the reason you can't let one little thing be between you and your Lord. You can't let one sin, one disobedience be between you and your Lord in this final hour. Take another look. Another look. One day, there it was. Man was not to be shut out any longer. No. All of a sudden, when Jesus was on Calvary, the door at last became living reality. The veil in the temple that had shut them out was ripped from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, but top. It started at the top and came down, down, ripping all the way, signifying that God had come down. Isn't that beautiful? God had come down, and suddenly there was the door. There was the door. There was the door. And the devil can't close you in unless you let him. The devil can't shut you out. That door, you can go in those doors of the Lord anytime, because he becomes The door of all doors, he's like many, many doors. He's like millions of doors, but he's really one big door. But for our minds, I like to condense it down to many, many doors. He's the door into everything we need. He's the door of every path we should travel. He's the door for every sunrise that you want to behold. He's the door for every starlit night that you desire. He is the door for your happiness. He's the door in. The door in for you. And you look for the door, you know he'll be there. Your door. Your door of direction. Your door of separation. Your joy. Your peace. The door. The door. What a door. You know, people don't stop to think about what doors mean. And look how your door closes out this cold, bitter cold, and you're shut in the warmth. And look how it shuts out the rain, that door. And this door, look in the manger, there's your door to protect you. And your doors protect you at night from danger. You feel secure because of your doors. And if you feel secure because of your doors made of wood or steel or whatever, how much more so should you be secure with this supernatural heaven-sent door or doors called Jesus? He has become our every door that we need. He has become all of our protection. He has become all of our strength. He has become all of our safety. And we don't have to be afraid. We are people to walk without fear. We are people to walk without frustration. But some of you, the reason that you are afraid, I wasn't afraid for my soul, but I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die. I wanted to live and preach the gospel. And I'd started preaching at 18, and now it seemed to be all closing out. And so swiftly it was closing at 23. And I didn't have understanding. I couldn't understand. And in my despair, it seemed I had tried to find the door. I was sure at first I would find the door. I wasn't concerned, but after it went on for months, then the concern was there. And it seemed that the months passed by, and I'd asked the Lord so many times to heal me that I decided he wasn't going to. I decided he was going to let me die. For some reason, he was going to let me die. And I didn't want to die. And it frightened me to know I felt for my faith and I had none. And you can't gauge your faith by feelings, but I had groped the door out and couldn't find the door. And in my despair, I went into that state of fear that I thought my faith was gone. And when you think your faith's gone, it just well to be gone, because you're not going to be using it until you decide you have it. You're not going to use what you don't have. It isn't within us to use that which we don't have or think we don't have. And we must know that we have it. And now it was just the same as if I didn't have it for myself. I had it for other people to find God, and I was going ahead and preaching when I could make it. As long as I could make it to the pulpit, I decided I'll preach. If I die right in the pulpit, that'll be the place to die. And wife would help me to get dressed. I'd be in such a terrible condition. And I was in a revival in Tampa, Florida. I held to the Bible stand that night. And oh, God, I was in such pain. But I wasn't going to let the people know it. I was just in piercing pain. Oh, God, what agony. And I was holding. I was so weak. Oh, Lord, I was weak. And I was just holding on to the Bible stand, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit began to speak through someone, and a little old lady began to tremble under the Spirit of God, and God began to speak, and God told me that night that he would heal me. But did you know, in my seeking to find the door, I didn't get immediately well, and I let my prophecy go. I let that mighty manifestation of God's promise to me, a personal promise, I will heal you. I will heal you. I ought to know then I wasn't going to die. But as the days passed and I suffered, and the voice of the prophecy faded into the distance that I forgot all about it. You know, the promises of God can be buried in your distress. I found that to be true. Some of you are letting the Lord do. I didn't know I was going to go into this tonight, but God has brought me into it because more than one of you are in the same condition. You're in the same kind of room that I was in, and you can't find your door. You cannot find your door, and the voice of His promises have died out. And you can't hear the promises of God. I could no longer hear that promise. I had it. If I'd have held to it, I would have known I wasn't going to die. And now I would have held to it to have known what I know now. But I was a young preacher. And I couldn't understand why God just didn't get me well, and then my body kept going down. But I could have looked at my body and told myself, you're not going to die. God can't lie. God said He would heal you. God said you wouldn't die. God said He would heal you. But my door was there, and that great big door, and I couldn't find it. That's a lot of despair. That's a lot of fear. That's a lot of night. That's a lot of night to crowd into one life. And that night crowded in such darkness that I couldn't even see my door. And the door had spoken. The door had voice. The door had spoken. And that He was my door of healing as well as my door of salvation. And that I was going to live, that I would not die, but I couldn't hear the voice now. Fear will close up your ears. Frustration will close up your ears to the voice of God that you can't hear it. And the devil loves that, and he knows that, see, and he tries to turn you into a state of spiritual deafness so that you can't hear God. And he turned me into a state of spiritual deafness. Ernest Angley, a kid that had had faith to know that God performed miracles even when I was a kid. I saw miracles, and I just knew if the preacher came and prayed for someone sick in our family, they'd just be healed. I knew when Mom prayed for him, they was going to be healed. I just stood there watching, and I just knew it would be done. I had no doubt. I had no doubt whatsoever. I was taught that way. I was taught to stand in the faith of God. I was taught miracles. And they were manifested in our home as well as in the church. And it was a way of life with us. Miracles became such a way of life in my childhood. But now, this was what caused so much despair, though. And I wouldn't even tell anybody. I couldn't tell my mother, daddy. I couldn't tell Angel. It was the second year of our marriage. And I couldn't tell her that all my faith was gone. That's an awful feeling. That's such terrifying fear. That'll just almost take your life. Almost do it. And your faith, where is it? I don't have any, but I had it. I had it. I had faith. I had faith. I had let the darkness frustrate me, and I lost my sense of direction. And do you ever get up in the night about half asleep and lose your sense of direction, and you're groping around and trying to find your way, and you can't even find the door that you're so used to? You can't even find your path in your own home. Now, that's something when you're in a condition like that. And I had lost my path, my sense of direction, and I couldn't find it. And that just caused fear to take me over. Fear. Now, it's hard for you to imagine me to be in that condition. You see, and I couldn't imagine it hardly myself, and I didn't want anybody to know it. I wouldn't even dare let it fall from my lips. And now my hope was sinking just like a ship at sea. It was going down. And my hope was sinking like in quicksand. And I was like I was in quicksand. I was going to die. I had a few more days. A few more days I would last. But I was in quicksand, and I knew I wasn't coming out. I knew that that was it. And to let anybody know that, I knew they'd be so disappointed in me to think that I had no faith. With no faith, no faith. And then to know the hope was going, and I knew last little bit of my hope flickered out like a candle going out, that was it. And I knew that the hope wasn't going to last much longer. I knew the wind was blowing too hard. The candle was going out. The candle was going out. And then suddenly it happened. Suddenly the light of God came on, and there was the open door, and there was Jesus. There was Jesus. Why, he was there all the time. And now my fear turned into a different kind of fear. It's a fearful thing for God to come upon you. Did you know that? Suddenly there's the Lord. Suddenly there he is. And he's saying, later, you were going along fast. But as he came to me, there was a wall always out there when I'd pray for people. I'd have one healing service in every one of my revivals in the beginning of my ministry from day one. And people would be healed. But I could take them, if they got healed from here to way out there, I can't explain. It was like a big wall that reached up to heaven. And if they got healed between here and that wall, they got healed. And if they didn't, they didn't. And I never knew that wall would ever come down. But that night, when the door opened and the light of God came in, I looked and beheld the wall came tumbling down. And beyond that wall, I could see all the way to heaven for the first time. All the way. That's the reason I can take so many people all the way now. Take you all the way. The wall's gone. And that was one great, great thing. I've never understood it. I don't claim to understand all about it yet tonight. I just know it fell into chunks and pieces as it came tumbling down. And I could see all the way to heaven. There I was, couldn't even see the door, now seeing all the way to heaven. See the difference? And the Lord didn't give me any more faith. When that light came, my faith went into action. I had it all the time. You got it. You have it. But you're just like I was, child. And you can't find the door. And the devil is saying, your faith's gone. And you can't say it isn't, because you agree in your spirit. It is gone. I can't find it anywhere. Something's happened to me. Well, remember, nothing ever happens to anyone like that. God won't allow it. God won't allow it. The devil can't take away your faith like that. He doesn't have the power to do it, or he'd take all of our faith from us. But he can't do that. But he frightens you and deceives you, just like he frightened me because I couldn't find the door. I thought at first, as I said, when I got ill, I just knew God would heal me. I knew God would heal me. I knew it just like I knew I was breathing. And then because he didn't do it, and the Bible says all things are possible, it caused me to be in confusion. But I didn't know what was to come, and I didn't know that I'd have to go into the valley of suffering so that I could have the compassion of Jesus for others. You can't have compassion for other people if you've never been there. I thought I could have compassion for people when they lost a loved one, somebody they loved better than themselves. But I really couldn't. I thought I did. And I tried to do the best I knew how. God knows that. And I would cry with others and weep with others and comfort others when they lost a dear, dear one. But when Angel went, for the first time, I knew. Since then, I can feel that hurt. I can feel as deep as it goes. I can feel the cutting, torturing torment of it. I can feel the death blow of it. And I relive it over and over. And I relive my dungeon of sickness over and over as I minister to others. And I look into those tortured eyes, and I know what tortured eyes are. and I look into that person's eyes that there's no cure, and like a trapped animal, I know what that's like. There's no way out. You're in the death trap. I've been in the death trap, and I know what that's like. And I wade in with all boldness, and I'm so determined to bring them out. And that's the reason I go after you. Some of you, so I've been there. And some of you that just groping around and the devil's just worrying the life out of you, I've been there. And I try to tell you, if you could only comprehend what I'm telling you, the Lord allowed it. I didn't know why. That's what hurt me. That's what hurt me, and God knows that's what hurt me. But he knew he'd make it all up to me. But he knew that this vessel would have to be molded in that shape. He would have to understand suffering, or he could never be what God wanted him to be for the people, the vessel God wanted. But if I could have had that understanding, I'd have never gone into all the despair I went in. But I believed God, and it didn't happen. I trusted God, and it didn't happen. And the misunderstanding on my part, I didn't know I was in the potter's house. I didn't know that he was preparing me. I didn't know that. I never thought myself worthy of ever having one of the gifts of the Spirit. I didn't ask for them. Not in the beginning. After he started giving me the gifts, then I started asking for more, but not in the beginning. And as I told you, I didn't want the gifts in the first place. I told God to give them to others. I'd never fight his power. I'd hold their hands up. But that wasn't the plan of God. And so in my misunderstanding and not knowing that I was in the potter's hands, I was in anything as far as my thinking was concerned. I was in any other hands apart from the potter's hands. I never dreamed he was molding and making me. It was the most terrifying thing to be in that condition. But mine came. I can put my finger today on mine. Mine was misunderstanding the way God was taking me. He told me ahead of time. He told me, prophesied to me, or gave the interpretation through supernatural tongues and through supernatural revelations, I will heal you. He told me then I wouldn't die. But see, I lost that voice in my despair. When God tells you something, you hang on to it. That's the reason I hang on so now. I learned to hang on. When God tells me something, I hang on to it. God said it. There's no need to sit down and debate it. There's no need to think it over. That's the living end to me. God said it. I don't care how I feel. I don't care. I'm not going to be in that room ever again. That room's a room of fear. That room is a torture chamber. And I don't intend to ever grope around in the night like that again. I have the light, and I'm carrying his light with me everywhere I go. If you want light today, you better carry it with you. There's darkness in the world, darkness in the land. And I'm not ever going to be shut in like that again. That I don't understand, I put it into his hands. I don't ponder and worry about it like other people. God has given me living promises. He has given me the word promises, and he has given me supernatural promises through the spirit of prophecy and by talking to me and telling me, and I am not going to grope in the night and just search in despair and fall down in despair, and there's no way out. My spirit cries, he is the way. My spirit cries, he is the door. I found him. That's the reason I'm so happy. That's the reason I'm so free. I know him to be the doors, not just door, but he's the doors into everything. He's the door. In other words, he's the answer for every problem that I ever have. And he's the answer, and he's the door for every problem that you have. And I could go on all night telling you about the doors, but the Lord wanted me to share this experience with you tonight. It was not planned to be shared. I didn't know it was going to be. The Lord just let me know that I was to talk about the big door tonight, the door, Him, Jesus. And He let me know before I came to service tonight that it was to be the door in the manger that the people must see now in this final hour. The door which goes into many, many doors. It is the door into salvation, but He is many, many doors. And the Lord is giving me revelations again and again on what can help you and things that I haven't even thought to bring to you. The Lord is taking me back into my life, giving me revelations of how He brought me because He's bringing you now. The same road. The same road. The roads of God, they may seem to vary, but they're all going one great highway after all. And He leads us all by His Spirit, by His love, by His greatness, by His power. And the lack of understanding and having a misunderstanding between you and God, it can't be in this hour. And so what you got to do is to let the truth be alive within you so that it will swallow up. The rod of God's truth will swallow up all the misunderstandings, all the faults, all the fear, all the frustration, all the despair. The rod of God, the word of truth, will swallow it all up. And when that's swallowed up, you don't have to put on any glasses to see the door. You don't have to have a magnifying glass to see the door. It's there. So mammoth, so big. And you have no trouble. You can throw out both hands as far as you can reach this way and go marching right through every door that the Lord makes for you. Every door. Every door. And have plenty of room to spare. And you can look up and the door is high as heaven itself. And you can look down, and the door is the end of it all. It's the foundation. The foundation. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Look in the manger. Look in the manger. What you need tonight's there. If it isn't there, you don't need it. You hear me? You don't need it. And if the door isn't in the manger that you need tonight, or that you think you need, you don't need that door. If you were fixing to go through a door and you don't find it in the manger, that's not your door. Your doors are only God's doors. That's all. And the devil can deceive you about doors. God has taken me through so many of His doors. Doors that I never thought could be there for me. And doors that I never thought myself worthy to go through. And there He was, the door into it, saying, come on. And He's saying to you, come on tonight. Come on tonight. And you that have been so depressed, and you that's been fighting the night, the darkness, and you that thought your faith was gone, this is your night of deliverance, saith the Lord. This is your night. And you ought to go out of here a brand new you. And you should let the man of God, a human being, I didn't have a human being to understand, to lead me out. And fear had taken me over that I backed away from divinity, not knowing I was backing away. And not knowing that if I had light, if I'd have held to the promise. The Lord knew that He was going to let me be in this room, but He gave me the prophecy of light. God's promise will light up any room. You know, a match can penetrate the darkness of one room, just one little match. And what will the light of God do? The light of one prophecy, what will it do? And I had that prophecy. What a light it would have been to me. And you have God's promises. The Lord's made you promises that He would heal you. He would bring you out. And just like I did, though, you let it go out. You lost it. Not the faith of God. You just let fear crowd out the promise. And it takes the promises of God to give us light. We don't have any light if we don't accept His promises. We had to accept the promise of salvation before we had any light at all. We had to accept that promise of salvation. And that being fulfilled in our lives, then the light had come. All right, we have the light, but we have to use it. And the devil will make you think you don't have a light. There was my prophecy, definite, sure as heaven itself. God said He would heal me, and God can't lie. And after God saying that, emphatically said it, I will heal you, God in heaven. How I ever let that prophecy, the lie of that prophecy go out is beyond me. Only all I can say is I just suffered so much and it went on so long. And in my despair, and watched my body just go down till it went down to about a skeleton. And I was going toward death instead of toward life. And in being swept more and more into the jaws of death, the light of my prophecy became dimmer and dimmer until before God, it left me completely. I didn't even remember it. It was after I was healed, I remembered it. I didn't even remember it. I had something worth more than gold. I had something more valuable to me than silver and gold, and I forgot all about it. I let the enemy rob me of the light of my prophecy, my promise, and that could have been my light, and I would have known. I am suffering, Lord, but in due season you'll bring me out. In due season, you're my door, and I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret like this. I don't have to wonder. But the misunderstanding was there, and I would cry, Lord, I don't know why you won't hear. I don't know why you're going to let me die. And there was my prophecy of promise that I would live, and I didn't even see it. I was saying, crying out in the night, saying, God, why? I've lived close to you. I hadn't committed not one sin since I had found him. Not one, not one, not one. I'd walk holy before him. God can be my witness and judge to that. And why, God, will you let me die? I'm willing to preach your gospel. You call me to preach. Why would you call me, God? Why would you gift me with such a gift? You gave it to me just like a person would hand their hand to someone else. Suddenly I had it. You gave it to me as a gift. And you made a preacher out of me in one night. Yours. And God, why are you going to let me die? There was no answer. I already had my answer. He had given it to me. Why should he give me another? And I thought he wasn't answering, and I thought it was death silence. I thought it was death silence. And I had my answer. Many times you already have your answer, and you're crying, why, God, why? And you have your answer. And I had my answer. I had it, but I let it go in the night when I needed it so much. God knew I needed it, and he gave it to me. Oh, what the Lord must have gone through, because he loved me so much, and he couldn't help me because he had to mold and make me. And he'd already given me my promise, and I'd let the light of it go out. And so now I would have to go through the torture chamber that I had placed myself in the night, because I had turned out the light of his prophecy to me. Misunderstood him. Why don't you answer? You've heard so many of my prayers, but you won't answer this one. God, when I mention my miracle, you turn a deaf ear. Why? No answer. God, why? You hear other prayers that I pray. I pray for the lost and you hear. Why? Why won't you hear? No answer. He didn't answer until the night he came and the door, my God, there it was, my door of life. There he was, Jesus of Nazareth. He had come to heal me. The clay was in the potter's hands all the time for me to live, and I didn't know it. But I don't regret any of the suffering. I would suffer so part of my body was like you would be putting a piercing, red-hot poker to my body. That's how I suffered. And that's awful. You feel like you can't stand another split second of it. Not even think of minutes. You just can't stand it. You can't live with it. You can't live with it. How can you live? You can't live. Oh, the many, many times I have put my head on the pillow and looked up and thank God that I don't have a pain.
Not a pain. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Not a pain. Oh, you that are not suffering in body, you don't know how to appreciate your good health. You don't know how thankful to be. It is such a relief to me to be out of pain. After all these years, my mind goes back to it. The Lord is here tonight. I have brought to you what He wanted me to bring to you, and now He will do for you what He did for me, if you will let Him. He wanted you to look in the manger and see your door out. And you don't have to grope anymore, and you don't have to go away with misgivings, and you don't have to go away with misunderstandings of Him. And you don't have to go away wondering. You just go away knowing the door is there. And you just step through the door. That's all you have to do. You just step through the door, and that's life. That's all I had to do. It was over and done. It was over and done. The light shined upon me. His power shot through me like so many volts of electricity. I never knew that much power could go into one body. Never did I. I'd never sensed such a thing. Never thought that much power would ever shoot into me. I wilted completely. And I listened to what He was saying. I was scared. It's something to be in the very presence of God. It's really something. But I sure do love Him.
And now it's time for your miracle. Put your hand against the radio as a point of contact. Lord, I'm agreeing with the people today for them to be healed, their children to be healed of all diseases, those death diseases. In the name of Jesus, I come with your great power, dear Jesus. Heal the people today. Heal. Heal. In the blood name. In the blood name. Heal, I pray. And now save the lost. You that's unsaved, don't die and go to hell. Say, oh God, save my soul. I'm lost, and I know Jesus died for me, and I will live for Him. And I believe, oh, I do believe, the blood of Jesus washes away all of my sins. All of my sins. Say, come into my heart, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in. If you mean it, He has come. Prayer, fasting, and living in the Word will make you grow in the Lord. Tell others about the broadcast. And when you get a miracle and others get a miracle, write and let us know about it. When you people find Jesus, we want to know about it. I want to hear from you. And God bless you real good. Remember, I love you. Jesus loves you. You are special to me and to God.